don't have to worry, and don't you be afraid. Joy comes in the morning, troubles they don't last always, for there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, troubles they don't last always, for there's a friend in Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, Jesus, I can take it. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. So when your tests and trials, they seem to get you down, all your friends and loved ones are nowhere to be found, remember there's a friend named Jesus who will wipe your tears away. And if your heart is broken, just lift your hands and say, I know that I can make it. I know that I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hands. With Jesus, I can take it. With Him, I know I can stand. No matter what may come my way, my life is your hand.
That's all saying this evening, amen. We change over the service. I know that I can make it. Amen. Believe it. Glory. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory.
sing, holy, holy, holy. High and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing.
Jesus, good to be in the house of the Lord this afternoon. Trust that you're happy to be in the house of God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Jesus. Sister Rachel, we really enjoyed that. Because I know it means a lot to you. Praise God. It means a lot to all of us. Amen. No matter what comes our way, our lives, our family's lives is in His hands. Amen. Praise God. He gave us our family. Praise the Lord. And He will restore them. Amen. Praise the Lord. And bring greetings from all the saints and the brothers there at the camp. We certainly had a good time, and I believe our young people were able to enjoy the word, and then hopefully they received something that they will take with them for years to come. Yes. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. And some of us who worked there did a lot of walking doing security. Brother Boyd knows about it. Amen. I got almost 20,000 steps just in one day. So it was good. It was good. And it was good exercise. But just every aspect of a camp, you know, is for the furtherance of the gospel for the young people. Right? It doesn't matter if it's the cook it doesn't matter if it's the security. It's in order so that the young people can get the word. Amen? So I believe that Brother Boyd did a wonderful job. Brother Aaron did a wonderful job. And it was just wonderful to be able to see and to meet other brothers there as well. While we were working together, amen, no matter what differences we may have had, we were just working together for one common goal. Amen. And that was so that the young people can get an experience with God. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we appreciate your prayers. And appreciate each one of those. One of you, Brother John, thanks for filling in Sunday. And we just appreciate each and every one of you. Amen. Remember us in your prayers this weekend. We'll be in St. Augustine, Florida. We'll be ministering down there. So you just remember us in your prayers. I'll be interpreting there at the minister's meeting there on Saturday. Friday night, I'll be interpreting for special meetings that they're going to have during this weekend as well. And so I'll be there Friday, Saturday, and then coming back Sunday. So we'll be heading straight to the wedding on Sunday. And just remember us in your prayers as we travel. So let's go to the word this evening. How many love the word? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to speak this evening on a tale of two sons. Amen. A tale of two sons. And we want to read from Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And we're going to start at verse 1. Verse 1, the Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Now, I want you to notice that who was coming to Jesus to listen to him and his word. And we see here that it was the publicans and the sinners came to hear him. And then in verse 2, it says, "And the Pharisees and scribes murmur, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." So it wasn't just publicans and sinners that were coming to go hear Jesus. It was Pharisees and scribes that were there to listen to Jesus as well. So keep that in mind, that when Jesus gives the following parables, and then we're going to talk about the prodigal son and concentrate on that. But when he gives these parables and when he talks about this, he's talking to two different people there at that moment. That's right. Yeah. He's talking to the publicans and to sinners, and he's talking to Pharisees and the scribes, the ones who thought that they were right, The ones who thought that they were correct, that you couldn't put anything on them because they followed the law. And he was right there talking to also the sinners and publicans, and they were there glad to hear him. Amen. So just keep that in mind. And verse 3, it says, "And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." Hallelujah. "I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." And then he continues here with the parable of the lost coin. "Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends." Notice that in both parables, friends are being called, rejoicing is done, and seeking is done in order to find what was lost. But it's not so in the parable of the prodigal son. "And when she hath found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found this the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth." Amen. Over one sinner. Amen. So what did Brother Branham say? One soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Sometimes us as preachers, we get so hard on ourselves. We're like, oh, we're only preaching to one person. And one person is just enough. All God wants is just one person. With one person, he turned the world upside down. With Paul. With one person, he can do more than he can do with a 600-member congregation. Praise God. All he needs is just one person. Will you be that one person? Amen. I want to be that one person tonight. Praise the Lord Jesus. So let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for the opportunity to open back the pages of your word. We appreciate, Lord, your word, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would just forgive us, Father, for our sins and our iniquities or anything, Lord, that we may have said, done, or even thought, Lord, that was not like you, Father. Place it under the blood of Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that you would just guide us, Lord, this evening as we endeavor to look at some things here in your word, Father God. This is your word, Lord. You're the one who spoke these parables, Lord. And I pray that you'd help us to understand them, Lord God. Let us get in a fuller understanding from your word, Father, than what we came with tonight, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Meet every need amongst us. Heal every sick one, Father God. And bless, Lord, those that just made the effort, Lord, to be here, Father. Not to hear a man, Lord, but to hear you, Father, the Son of Man. We just commit ourselves now into your hands in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Appreciate your patience. Amen. All right. So I want us to take a look here at the parable of the prodigal son, because when we read the prodigal son, we normally concentrate on the part where the prodigal, the younger son, leaves the house and comes back and is restored, and all that is good, and we're going to talk about that. But there is an element to the prodigal son, or to this story, which is the older son that we sometimes overlook. And what is Jesus talks about him in there? There's a reason why he talks about him in there. And of course, it has to do a lot with what the younger son, with the younger son. Right. So let's continue reading here in Luke chapter 15. And we're just going to read and just comment as we read this evening. Amen. Praise the Lord. It says here in verse 11, "And he said, A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me." All right? So when we look here, this the younger son is there's a portion that is allotted to him. Now there was an older son, and the older son was supposed to get the majority of the portion of what his father of his estate, of his father's estate. So the older son, he got like 2/3 of that portion, while the younger son only got 1/3. So what the younger son is asking for is, give me that 1/3, or give me that portion that belongs to me. Amen. Right? And so he says here, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, during that time, if you're just looking, if you're looking at the history of Jewish history, during that time, mainly people, the way they showed that they had wealth was by the lands that they had, the cattle that they had, the properties that they had. That was mainly how they showed their wealth. So you can pretty much think that the way the father was going to give this portion to his son was that he needed to go and sell a piece of land or something in order to give him what his son required. And his father did not deny him that portion. And in order for him to do that, normally the father had to die. Yep, right. how else are you going to get somebody, you know, what belongs to you in a will if the father does not pass away first? Right? And here is the same thing, right? But the father, without having passed away, still goes ahead and gives him what he's asking for. So what the son is really doing, if you think about it, what the son is really doing is he's wishing that his dad was dead.
Think about it. Come on.
Think about it. What he's really doing is that he's wishing that his dad is dead so that he can go ahead and get that portion. Okay. And I know sometimes as parents, saints, sometimes we go through hard times and we feel like that's what our children desire of us. Yeah. Just because we're trying to train them in the right way that they should go. Amen. But, you know, God is working things. Amen. Amen. And God works in mysterious ways. Praise the Lord. And so it says here, and he divided unto them his living. And so the younger son was basically wishing his dad was dead. He wanted the father's things, but he didn't want the father. Right. Right. He wanted the father's things, but didn't want the father. Now, when you look here at the word here, property here in the next. Well, if you read in the NIV version, this is what the NIV version says. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Right. And then when you look at that word property, is the word bion. And what it means, it's a primary word, which means life, the present state of existence, by implication, the means of livelihood. Right. So basically what this son is trying to tell his dad, I want you to tear your life apart so that I can get what belongs to me. How many of us parents have ever felt that way? I want you to just go ahead and just tear yourself apart, break your status in society so that you can go ahead and just give me what I desire. Yeah. A lot of us would think, my goodness, that child just needs pow. But that's not what the father did. Right. Now remember, the father here types our Heavenly Father. You always have to think that. And so normally the way we as parents, our first reaction, I've always heard this, that normally the first reaction, the way you react, the way you want to react to something the first time is usually the wrong way. That's probably not the right way to react. Right? Because we don't stop and pray about things. We don't stop and think about what we should do. And normally our flesh will react in a way that usually leads us wrong. Yeah. Right, man. Right. So we must work on that. Amen. right? But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Amen. That helps us, amen, to think according to the Word and help us react accordingly. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Well, maybe you came to hear something else tonight, but this is what you'll hear. Amen. So in those days, that the land, amen, was a man's wealth in those days. So what? So that the son was really trying to tear this father apart. And the father went ahead and went out of his way to make sure that his son, that he loved so much, got what he was going to, what he needed. Amen. Praise God. He literally tore his life apart in order to cater to his son. Amen. Sometimes, amen. I wish some of our children, amen, could see. Amen. That you literally, amen, sometimes sacrifice.
Yeah, right.
Sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, right.
And have sacrificed yourself all your life in order so that they could get the best.
Right.
When
right.
And then as they get older, amen, they forget all that. They don't see that until they have their own children.
Right.
Then they realize, wow, my mom and dad were really trying to. Amen. They actually, he bought that bag of Funyuns and he never ate them so that I could have them.
Right.
He literally did that for me.
Right.
I'm just using that as an example because we bought a bag of Funyuns this weekend and my wife was asking me, where's that bag of Funyuns? We never opened them. And we're like, where's it at? I think we left them at the hotel room. Brand new bag of Funyuns. We didn't tip the cleaning lady, but she got a brand new bag of Funyuns, though. So, amen. All right, let's continue. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Now watch what it says here. That not many days after that, after the son came to the father asking for his inheritance, for his one-third portion. Not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, we're not going to talk about all that he did, all that he got involved in. Maybe he got into a business and was trying to make money and maybe he went out and spent it all on prostitutes. I don't know. We don't know. But that's not the point. Because whatever he did, the father didn't look at that and neither mentioned it to him when he came back.
Amen.
That wasn't his concern. It was the concern of the older brother, but it wasn't the father's concern.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
That's not the point. Amen. Whatever your children is doing, whatever is going on, whatever is happening, that's between them and God.
Amen.
There's nothing that you can do about it.
Amen.
Amen. You put them in God's hands
Amen. And
leave them there.
Amen.
Leave it there and God, amen, will take care of the rest. You just be salty before your children. You be salty and you love your children no matter what. Son, daughter, I'm here for you. I'm here to talk. I'm here to, whenever you want to come back, I'm right here for you.
Amen.
I'm not here. I'm not going to give you a lecture. I'm not going to give you a PowerPoint presentation to tell you what you did wrong or nothing like that. I'm here to love you.
Amen.
And I'm here to listen to you first.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Our children will appreciate that.
Amen.
Sometimes we want to give them a PowerPoint presentation about every single point of the things that we've learned in life. And in reality, that would never lead them to, they don't care about that.
Yeah.
Because they got to have their own experience. That was your experience. That's not their experience. Amen. They're interested in wanting to have their own experience. And sometimes it takes for them to have to go out this way. I don't want them to. Neither do you. But sometimes that's what it takes for them to go out. Amen. And experience what it is. Amen. The hard knocks of life. Amen. The hardships of life. Oh my, I got to really save money in order to get this and that. Yeah, you do. Amen. And you don't get things for free forever.
Yeah.
Amen. Now it's your turn to pay that bag of Funyuns. That used to be $1.99. Now it's $3.99 because of inflation. $4. Now they're a little bit more careful now how they spend their money.
Right?
Praise the Lord. And there wasted his substance righteously. And when he had spent all, the Bible says, when he had spent all the money that he had gotten, the one third portion of his father's wealth, he spent it all. Now, I don't know how much how long it took for him to spend it all. He might have spent it in a year. Might have took him 6 months. Might have taken him 10 years. Amen. But he spent it all. And there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Yep. Kind of like we're seeing now.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Now, I want you to also think that when, as we're reading this, you know, we're reading it in the physical, but think about it also in the spiritual.
Amen.
Yeah? Because he had spent it all. You say, we've given it, we've given it all to the world. We've done all, and now there's a famine, amen, in the land for the true word of God.
Right, amen.
Amen. The people really want to hear the word of God.
Right, yes, amen.
Amen. Our young people really want to know what the Bible says.
Right.
Not just our opinions and our theories and our challenges to each other.
Because
that's what it was like. Couple of years ago is just challenging each other and see who knows more about the word of God. But that's not what it's all about.
Right. Right.
That won't change young people.
Right.
That won't give them Holy Ghost, and that won't change you.
Right. Right.
Amen. Who knows more than the other about the word? Who's going to speak the third pool more? But no, that has nothing to do with it. Amen. It's about changing lives. It's about receiving the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Praise God. It's about living like Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Christ wasn't there to challenge anybody. People were challenging him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. All right, we read that. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into his field to feed swine. Now, in those days, you know, for a Jew to be with pigs, it was a horrible thing.
Right.
They didn't even eat them, much less be around them. And he would fain and have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, and I like what the NIV version says, that when he came to his senses, amen, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger.
Amen.
I want you to look at this, parents, and I want you to see that he came to himself.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen.
Right. He came to his senses.
Yeah.
He didn't stay in that condition the whole time.
Right. Amen.
Amen. He finally came to his senses. He finally, that word that he received at some point in time in his life, amen, something sparked in him, and he remembered that.
Amen.
Right?
Amen. That's right.
So our children, they've heard the word.
Yeah.
Amen. Our kids, they've heard the word. Now let that word do a work in them.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let that work do a work in them. Let that word do a work in them.
Amen.
Because that will change them from the inside out.
Yeah, right.
You see, that was the father wasn't there, amen, telling the son, come on, come to yourself, come on. No. Finally, he sat down when he was in terrible hardship, when everything was gone, when he'd spent all his money in prostitutes and there was nowhere for him to even work or anything like that. He finally said, you know what? I need God. He finally said, I need God.
Amen.
I will arise and go to my father. Now you notice that he did not say, I will go home.
Right.
Because his father was his home.
Right.
He left home, but the relationship he broke was with his father.
Right?
Right?
Amen.
And so he said, I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee.
Yes.
Amen. The father was home.
Yes.
That was home. That was what he was missing.
Amen.
That relationship with his father.
Right.
And saints, you know, home isn't just a place.
Right.
It's not a physical location. It's,
right.
It's not your house. That's home is a relationship.
Right.
Amen.
Right,
Home is a relationship that we have with one another. My family is my home.
That's right.
Amen. You could take away my house. You could take away my cars. You could take away everything. But if I'm missing my family, amen, I don't have a home. You don't have a home if your family is not there. And so that's what this son was saying. He said, I will go home. I will rise and go to my father. And he was planning in his mind what he was going to tell him. He was thinking in his mind, this is how it's going to be. I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Amen. And I will go home where I belong, where I'm accepted. Amen. Right. Home for us is where we belong and where we're accepted. Amen. Amen. Right. Home in the Word, that's where we belong. Amen. That's where we're accepted, in the Beloved.
Amen.
Amen. You're never rejected and when you come with a true heart.
Amen.
Praise God.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
In verse 20 it says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet... I love that word, but, because if there was a problem before, but, amen, there's a resolution after, but, amen, but is a conjunction that brings a solution afterwards, or it could bring a problem too, but it's a conjunction. In this case, it was a solution. But when he was yet a great way off, doesn't say that he was from here to the doors. Amen. He was a great way off.
Yeah.
A great way off. Amen. Watch what the father did. His father saw him. Now, most of us fathers, amen, we'd probably see our son. Amen. We're probably there working on our car. And our son did that, you know, did what he did.
Yeah.
And we'd probably be there. Son better have something good to say.
Come on.
He better come in here with something good. He done caused all kinds of nonsense in my family. He better have something good to say. Let's see what this boy got to say. Most of us would probably do that. What? Our fleshly instinction, that's what we would do. But this boy did me wrong. I'm going to wait until he actually rings the doorbell before I open the door. I ain't going to wait to open the door. I'm going to wait till he rings the doorbell. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to wait until he talks on the doorbell camera before I actually open the door. But that's not what the father did. Look what the father did. His father saw him and had compassion. And had compassion.
Amen.
And watch, and ran. And ran. And fell on his neck. And kissed him. Now remember, his son done already took in 1/3 of his wealth.
Yep, that's right.
Of his estate, his land. His status in the community.
Yep.
That was already gone.
Yep. Right.
But the father didn't care not one bit about that. What he was concerned and what he loved most is that his son was returning.
Amen.
Now, I was looking at this part right here where it talks about that he ran. And it's very interested in Jewish tradition. Amen. Because why did he run? You know, Jesus brings in there, why did he run? And there's a reason why. Now, according to the Talmud, there is a ceremony performed that's called the Kizaza. All right? Now, this is what this ceremony is. If a Jewish son married a Gentile woman, or he lost his inheritance among Gentiles, and then returned home, the family and the community would perform a ceremony called the Kizaza. They would break a large pot of fruit in front of him and yell, you are now cut off from your people. The community would totally reject him. Not just the community, but the family as well. Amen? So what the father did, basically, because in those days, a man, you know, with this, because we see that this father, he was a man of status.
Yep, right.
He had money.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He was a, and his garments, you know, a man, you know, children ran back then. Maybe a woman or girls, you know, they might run back then. But a man of that status, a man back then didn't run. Yeah. Right. Especially man of that status. Yeah. Because they would be showing their legs, and it was just embarrassing for them to have to pick up their skirt to be running everywhere, you know. So man didn't run. It was kind of like a shameful thing. But this father didn't care about that.
No, come on.
This father picked up his skirts and ran to his son.
Amen.
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 And watch what he did. He met him outside of that village.
Yep.
Outside, because he saw him from far off. He met him outside before he come into the city, because he knew that if he would get to him first before the village would get to him, then he could restore him.
Right,
and he'd bring him to his home. Nobody would know. But then once the people in the community would know that the father restored him, they couldn't perform the ceremony, this kazaza ceremony. Because why? The father had already made the choice to restore him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Think about that.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
So I like it, because the Bible, you know, Jesus gives these little things, and he ran and fell on his neck, and just these little things, they're there for a purpose.
Amen.
So the father, basically, he embarrassed himself. He embarrassed himself, amen, in order to go restore his son.
Amen.
Amen. By lifting up his skirts in public and showing his legs in order to get to his son first.
Amen.
Amen. The father was not interested at all in publicly shaming his son. He didn't care about him being embarrassed. He just didn't want his son to be embarrassed.
Right.
I wonder, let that sink in, parents. You shame your children in public. That's not the attitude of this father.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That's not what he was trying to protect his son, who deserved all kinds of you know, punishment. Of rejection. Yet the father does everything to protect his child. Isn't that what we're supposed to do as parents?
Amen, brother.
Amen. We protect our children no matter what the cost.
Amen.
We don't shame them whatsoever. Because in general, later on, that's going to hurt them more than help them. Just think about that. Amen. In verse 21 it says, "And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." Amen. This is what the son said. This is how he felt. Praise God. And so what the son was trying to do here is what the son was trying to earn his way back to the family. But the father didn't want him to earn his way back. That's what the father was not interested in, earning his way back. He said, I'll make sure to do it for you.
Right. Amen.
Amen. Watch what verse 22 says. But the father said to his servants, "Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet." Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He wanted him to have the best. No matter what he had done, no matter what he had gone through, no matter how much of his son had embarrassed him, he wanted to give him the best.
Amen.
See, the father wanted to let his son know that he was going to be in charge of fully restoring him. Now, this is kind of like a process of adoption.
Yeah.
Amen. If you think about it.
Yep. Right.
Now, what does the robe represent? It's a robe of righteousness.
Right?
Right? The ring, amen.
Yep.
The ring had the father's seal on it. A man of that status back then had a certain seal. It was a family seal on that ring. And that son, amen, was he didn't deserve that, but the father gave him that ring. And not only that, he told his servants of the house, "Come and put that ring on my son. And also come and put that robe on my son."
Right.
Amen. A robe of righteousness, a ring with the father's seal, and shoes.
Yeah.
Amen. Which means that he was prepared and ready. Praise God. That he was prepared and ready. Now, maybe the son may not felt that way. The son probably didn't feel that way. He was probably still, I can't believe my dad is doing this to me. I can't believe this is happening to me when I'm supposed to. He wanted to work for his dad in order to pay him back what he lost. He didn't even want to be his son. But the father wasn't interested in him. He said, no, you're not going to be like one of my hired servants. You're going to be my son because you are my son. And let me publicly demonstrate that you are my son. You're not going to serve me. You're going to be served. Amen. Hence the reason why he told his servants, amen, to go and place these things on him. Amen. Parents, I don't want you to think that your child is gone. Amen. He or she, they're only getting prepared, amen, for what's coming ahead for them. Amen. I like that song that Brother Michael sang last time. Amen. They're just working on their testimony. He is only working on his testimony. Amen. She is only working on her testimony. Amen. There have to go through something in order for there to be a testimony. There has to be a test in order for there to be a testimony. Praise the Lord Jesus. Father here wasn't concerned about anything that the son had done. Now remember, Jesus is the one telling this parable here. And the Father represents the Heavenly Father. So how much should you and us, you and I, parents, should be with our children? Gracious. Oh, we're gracious with everybody else, but we're not with our own children. Our own children, well, we treat them any old way. Hit them upside the head, shame them, and do all kinds of stuff. But we'll show grace to everybody else. You're breaking the word. You're breaking the attitude of this father. Because as Jesus is telling this here to us, amen, he's trying to show us a relationship issues that are going on between parents, family members, and so we need to look at it that way. Amen. All the different aspects. Amen. All right, verse 23. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. Amen. This is the father continuing the gifts for the son. For the son that didn't deserve it. For the son that spent all his living. For the son that was in sin and everything. Here he brings in the fatted calf. Now the fatted calf is, when you look in the scriptures, is only killed and eaten only on special occasions. Only on special occasions. They would set aside a little calf, fatten him up over time. And when a special occasion came, I mean, it had to be a real special occasion. They would take that fatted calf and kill it and eat it. Share, and they would invite the whole community. I mean, it was a throwdown. It was a party of parties. Because it was expensive during that time. People, the Jews back then, they didn't eat a lot of meat. Right? And if they did eat meat, they would find the you know how we look at Walmart, you know, we're looking for the cheapest meat now, you know. Yeah. The ground beef, you know. Ground beef, you're looking at, you know, it's now what is it, seven, 60 to 70% fat, you know, 70-20 or whatever. You know, that I think the more fat it has, the cheaper it is. Right? Yeah, like Sister Ann said, it's supposed to be. Yeah. Eventually, it's going to make us eat bugs. Just see what Bill Gates is saying about that. Yeah. And you don't believe me. You think that's just a conspiracy theory. They talk publicly about it. They do. About eating bugs and feeling it. They're feeding it to children now at schools. Yeah. And they're using Hollywood stars to promote it, too. I just hope that we're out before then. Amen. Yeah. But the fatted calf, amen, it was for a special occasion. And this is what the Father was asking to be done for this most disobedient, unworthy, unfaithful, unjust, sinner boy who didn't deserve nothing. This is what the Father was asking him. But you know what? You know, sometimes we think of people that way and you forget where you came from. You forget where the things you did when you were younger. The sins that you committed. And yet you were received by people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And most importantly, by God.
Amen.
Amen.
For this my son was dead and is alive again.
Amen.
He was lost and is found. And they began to be sad. Doesn't say that, does it? They began to be merry. Amen. And this, my son was dead. Now, we see here that he wasn't physically dead, but he was spiritually dead, which is what the Father was saying, and is alive again. Amen. Praise God. Now, watch. So we see here that Jesus is talking about stops talking about the younger son, and you think that maybe everything is done. Maybe the family's restored back, everybody is happy, and they lived happily ever after. Without one third of the Father's portion, of course. But that didn't matter to the Father, you know. That didn't matter because all he cared was that his son was back.
Yeah, right?
But it wasn't that way. And in Act 2, right? In Act 2, you know how in stories they have acts. That was Act 1. Now in Act 2,
amen.
Jesus continues. He says, now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. I mean, they was throwing down up in there. I mean, they had a party. What you talking about? Man, it was good food. It was good music. It was good fellowship. Everything was good.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But the father, the son wasn't there. The older son wasn't there.
Yep.
And verse 26 says, and he called one of the servants, the son did, and asked what those things meant. In other words, he asked him, he said, hey, what's going on in there?
Right.
Now, his son was in the field, and maybe he was, maybe several days working, I don't know. Maybe he was, but there seems to be a disconnect there with the family, because he should have known that his son, his brother, had returned,
right?
Because I don't think that happened, killing the fatted calf and putting the ring on the finger and all that stuff happened within an hour.
Yeah, right.
It probably took several days. So where was this brother? There was some sort of disconnect in the family already from his part. There was something already building up in him towards his father that he didn't like. Oh, come on. And we got to be careful, amen, with the little things. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Little things that build up over time. And it's usually the ones within the family that we have issues with. Ones within the family. And this is what happened here. And this is what was happening here with his son. Things were building up with the father. Things were building up. And he called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come. The servant was telling him, thy brother is come. And thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound.
Amen.
In other words, he told him the good news.
Yeah, right.
And isn't that good news?
Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful news.
Amen.
But that's not how the son received it.
Right.
Now, in order for his son to receive it in the way that he says it here in verse 28, something must have been already gnawing in him. And he was angry. Look at the attitude of his son. And he was angry and would not go in. So now the younger son had already assaulted the family. So now it was the turn of the older son now to assault the family. It was his chance to assault the family now. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Now I want you to pay attention to that. Because the father did to his older son exactly what he did to his younger son. He didn't wait till his older son went to him. Amen. He came to his older son to try to talk with him. When he found out that his son had that attitude and wasn't in there in the festivities and in the rejoicing of what was going on, he was worried. He was concerned. And he went looking for his older son. Found him outside like this. Can't believe it. Taking all my father's, the father's one third of the portion, spent it all in harlots, did everything or that, and now they're using my portion to give this boy a party. This is exactly what he was thinking. They're using my portion. In other words, he was not concerned about his father being happy about his younger brother coming in. He was concerned, just like his younger son, he was concerned also about getting what he could get out of his father, but not about the father himself. I wonder if we're that way. If we are, because let me tell you, this son, the oldest son, did everything he was supposed to do. He was good. He went to church, got there 30 minutes on time, prayed, made sure that his mom and dad saw that he got to church on time, made sure everything. I mean, it was, but his heart was not in the right place. He did everything right. See, you could do everything right for the wrong reasons. And you can do everything wrong as well, just like the younger son. But this shows me, and this is what Jesus is trying to show us, that they both needed repentance. They both needed God. One wasn't better than the other one. One wasn't higher than the other one just because they were able to do everything. Amen. Some of us come in here, amen, sometimes running 30, 40 minutes late. Amen. Some of you all get here on time. That doesn't make you better than somebody else. Amen. Because God knows your heart. God knows what's really in your heart. Why you do things and what's the purpose of you doing things? To be seen? Or do you really want a relationship with God? I want y'all to think about that in light of this story. What's the purpose of you doing things that you do? Is it to be seen and please those around you? Or is it to please God? Amen. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. He talked to his son. Amen. This son, what he was saying in his heart was, I will not be part of this family. I'm the heir, and I don't want to be in the same family with my brother in it. That's what he was saying. That's why he wouldn't come in. So the father came to him, just as he went to the younger son. Amen. It's always God seeking us. We're never seeking God. It's always God seeking us, looking for us. Because he's concerned about relationships. He doesn't care about your do's and your don'ts and what you do or don't do. That's good. But he wants your heart first. Where is your heart? That's what's more concerning about to him. Because you could do every single thing just right. and your heart be in the wrong place, that ain't going to help you in life. It won't help you even with people at church, with your family. Eventually, you will show what's really in your heart. At the right time, when the right moment comes, and the right things happen, you will eventually show what's in your heart. So, make sure that your heart is right. Amen. Because out of the abundance of the heart speaks the mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, Jesus said, is what you will do. Amen. And he answering. And so I wanted to show this, that Jesus says here that the Father didn't treat one son differently than the other. There was no preferential treatment there. Isn't that what we're seeing? So it's not good, parents. Oh, my. I better be careful when I tread on this. But it's not good, parents. We treat one child better than the other. That's not going to lead anywhere good.
That's right. Right, brother, man.
Look what happened with Jacob.
Right.
It's exactly what he did. And look what happened to his family.
Yep. Yeah.
So don't give preferential treatment. Treat them just the same. Love them just the same. They have a soul just as much as all your other children do. They need God just as much as your older one does or your younger one does. They need God. You know, I want to let my children know that I love them just the same. And we know our children. We know that sometimes some of our children, they're different. I mean, you know, with Bella, you know, we had to be a little tougher on her. A little bit, you know, more. She was a little bit more hard-headed, more strong-willed. Right?
Yeah.
And I think she's learned. With Zoe, all we have to do is just look at her. And just kind of, and I mean, she was crying. I didn't have to pull my belt off. I didn't have to do anything. Amen. And yes, because of that reason, she did not get as much spanking. And as Bella has told us this. She did not get much spanking, but it was because we knew that that's what worked for her.
Right?
Right?
That's right.
So you know your own children. You know how you can deal with one or the other. Amen. But don't do one thing for the other and not for the other when they both are doing the exact same thing. They're both causing the same problem. I have the same attitude, but yet you prefer one over the other. That's wrong. That's wrong. That's not teaching neither of your children anything right. And it's wrong before the eyes of God. And he answering, verse 29, and he answering said to his father, lo, watch what this older son says, lo. And when you read this here in the NIV version, this verse 29, look, he says, but he answered his father, look, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. He doesn't even call him father. At least the younger son called him father. Even though he went out into the world and did everything, he still had some sort of respect and called him father. This older son right here, you could tell that he already had something with his dad that he wasn't liking. And he tells him, lo, doesn't even call him father. Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgress I at any time thy commandment. I was a good boy. I was a good daughter. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But watch what he continues saying. His bad attitude. I mean, he was obedient son. Did everything good. But he has this bad attitude. Why? Because it was coming from his heart. It was hiding in there all these years. And eventually, at the right moment, it came out. And eventually, it came out. But as soon as this thy son was come, he don't even call him his brother. As soon as this my brother, he didn't say that. No, he said, as soon as this thy son, In the NIV version, it says, when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fatted calf for him. He's concerned about his own estate, his own well-being, not even concerned at all what his dad is feeling for his younger son coming home. Matters of the heart. It's matters of the heart. You can hide it all you want for many years. Eventually the right thing will happen and it'll bring it out of you. Just what it happened here to this older son. You just wait. I said, oh, my child will never do that. My child, you just wait until the right moment comes. Whatever was hiding in there in their heart, that's what will eventually come out. If they haven't gotten God. I mean, they'll play the part for years. And you know what? I'm not exempt from that either. I'm not saying my children will never do these things. Amen. That's between them and God. I've given them, amen, I've told them, you got to have your own relationship with God. Right. I can't always be there supervising every single thing that you do. That's right. Amen. God knows. That's right. Yep. Go ahead. But I know that word, amen, that God's put in your heart, amen, that we have preached for years, amen, that's the word that's going to change you. Amen. I can't change you. Right. Mommy can't change you. Amen. The pastor can't change you. The preacher at the youth camp can't change you. It's got to be the word of God, amen, that changes you. Amen. And when that change takes place, that's an enduring change. Amen. That will last. Do you think that this young son, amen, he left the house again? After all the grace that he was shown? After all that he had done? Doesn't say. But we are just assuming that he didn't. Because the Father let God be God. The Father just let God do the work. And God took care of the rest. Amen. So he says here, but as soon as this thy son was come, which had devoured thy living with harlots. He's the one who starts naming his sins. Look what he does. I mean, isn't that what we sometimes do? We keep record of what people do at church. I mean, we make sure we write it down, too. I mean, it's in a notepad somewhere. Came in 30 minutes late. Oh, Wednesday. Wednesday came with his shoes untied. I mean, we just keep track of it. When the Father, God himself, wasn't doing that. Didn't even mention it to his son. Well, the word of God is still the word of God. Amen. Amen. So this brother refuses to acknowledge his brother as part of the family. Amen. This brother was mad that his father was using his inheritance in a way that he didn't approve of. Because that was his inheritance. That fatted calf was part of that older brother's inheritance. It belonged to him. It belonged to his dad because he was still alive. He wasn't going to get that fatted calf until he died. But it still belonged to him. So when the dad tells him, and he said unto him, son. Now, he wasn't called father by his son, but his father calls him son. He says, son, thou art ever with me. And all that I have is thine. I mean, that was literally true. Remember, he didn't have the one-third portion anymore because his son, his younger son, had already spent it. So that was gone. But that wasn't even in his dad's father's mind. The two-thirds portion that was there belonged to his older son. So when he told him, son, everything that you have, everything that I have is yours. That was literally true. When I die, everything that I have, everything that you see now, it belongs to you. It says, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry. In other words, it was important that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother, he tells him that this is your brother. He didn't say, this thy son. Look what he did. But now his father tells him, this thy brother. Remember, he's your brother.
Amen.
Remember, she's your sister.
Yeah. Amen.
He's your brother. Watch how you treat your brother and your sister.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Remember. Remember, he was dead.
Yeah.
And is alive again.
Amen.
And was lost. And is found.
Amen.
And Jesus stops right there. Leaves us with like a cliffhanger almost. And leaves you guessing what happens next. Leaves you to your imagination to think what's going to happen next. What happens? Does the brother get restored with his younger brother, the older, and things, you know, and move on for the common cause of the family, for the common cause of the work?
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Or does he just leave, separating and severing more of the family? Amen. So I want you to think about this in the last few minutes that we have. That Jesus, amen, he was talking to publicans and he was talking to sinners. All
right?
The publicans and the sinners represent the younger son.
Right?
The older son is represented by the Pharisees. How do you think those Pharisees felt when he was telling those things? See, because this story wasn't just a feel-good story that you can boo-hoo and cry. The old younger son came back. Well, that's good, and that's part of it. But he was trying to make a point. And you sometimes think Jesus is just all about love, and he's just all about... No, he's about publicly shaming people when they need to be publicly shamed. Yeah, when it's deserving of it, because this is the Pharisees were a bunch of hypocrites. See, in their mind, they're thinking that their good works and everything, they felt like they were slaves to God, and that God was just their master, and if they just did everything exactly by the law, everything, amen, that they would get in. But see, in reality, they were trying to be their own savior. And not depending on God the Savior. They were thinking that they were dependent on God the Savior, but in their attitude of their heart, by their works and by the things that they were doing, and the disgust that they had for the publicans and the sinners and the prostitutes and everything like that. Amen? You see, from the heart speaks the mouth, Jesus said. So see, from their heart, God knew where their heart was, even though that they did exactly everything. They had the long hair exactly the way they wore the phylacteries, everything, amen, and you couldn't put one thing on them.
Amen.
Physically, you couldn't. Jesus could.
Amen.
Because he knew their heart.
Right.
And God knows your heart.
That's right. Amen.
God knows your heart.
Amen.
So here, the older son is represented by these Pharisees. And the older son, he worked hard for his dad. He obeyed him. He did everything.
Right.
Amen. But in the end, there was a heart problem there.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, the younger brother, he was trying to obtain the father's wealth by breaking the rules. He was forcibly asking his dad, give me what I did by breaking the rule, by being a bad son. And God gave it to him. His father gave him what he was. While the older son was trying to obtain the father's wealth by being good and then doing what he was supposed to do. But both of their hearts were not for the father. Both of their hearts were for material things and external things. Amen. I like silence. Silence is good. Amen. Both needed God just the same. That's what Jesus is trying to tell us. Both needed God just the same. Your good works ain't going to get you in. your obedience to your parents all your life, and you come in 30 minutes early to church, that's good, and that's good. We need to do that. I'm not trying to say we don't do that, but that won't help you in the long run if your heart's not right. So the older brother was thinking that he was getting in by his works, was looking down at the younger brother who was needing grace. Yep. That's what the Pharisees were doing with the publicans and the sinners. Looking down on them when they needed grace.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Amen. And I want you to look at this, because what the older brother should have done. If the older brother really loved his brother, his younger brother, the way he should, what he should have done is that when the older brother went out, the older brother should have gone and he said, "Dad, don't worry, I'm going to go out and look for him. I'm going to go out and seek him. I don't care what is going to cost me. I don't care if it costs me all my inheritance. I'm going to find him, because that's my brother. That's my flesh and blood. That's part of me, just as much as it's part of you." But that's not what the older brother did. The older brother had already had maybe some sort of vendetta towards his younger brother and towards his dad, because all he was thinking was about himself. Amen? And isn't that what Jesus did for us? Remember, he is our kinsman redeemer. He our older brother. That's what he did. He came looking for us. He came seeking us. He gave up his throne of glory. He gave up his inheritance. He gave up everything that he had. Amen. The peace and everything in order to come find you. In order to come find you. Because you were the younger son. You were the one who needed restoration. You were the one who were out spending money with harlots and overspending and spending and living riotously. Yeah. And he knew that. And yet he still came for you. What a great older brother we have. Who wants to have an older brother like that? Amen. Well, you and me have him. Our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. I never had a brother. I always say I grew up with women in my household all my life. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. You know, I grew up with two sisters. My mom. My dad, he worked third shift a lot. So I was the one who was in charge of the house pretty much. So I was always around women and girls all the time. And now it's the same thing. So it was like God was training me. I mean, I have my wife, I have my two daughters, and even our dog is a female. I'm surrounded. But you know what? I wouldn't change it for anything else, because I know that was my portion. God prepared me for that. Amen. Maybe with a son, I wouldn't be able to handle him. Mm-hmm. But see, God gave you a son because he knows that you could handle it.
Amen.
All right?
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. So he became our kinsman redeemer.
Yes,
Amen. He became me.
Thank you, Lord.
That I might become him by grace.
Amen.
See, that's what the older brother should have done. He should have become, amen, what his younger son was going through in order just to win him. And that's what Jesus did.
Amen.
And so see, Jesus there speaking to the Pharisees and to the publicans and the sinners. Amen. I'm sure the publicans and the sinners were just receiving that word.
Right.
And so you wonder, you know, how did the story end? Because Jesus leaves us there with a cliffhanger, you know.
Right.
You wonder, how did things happen? What happened? If the older son represented the Pharisees, what did the Pharisees end up doing to Jesus?
Yeah.
So maybe that was the way the story ended up in the family. I don't know. But I'm so glad that we have an older brother this evening. Amen. I'm so glad that we have a redeemer. Parents, don't fret. Don't worry. As Sister Rachel was singing that song, you don't have to worry. Amen. Commit him into the hands of God, just like the Father did. Just like the Father committed him. Amen. Eventually, all things will work together for the good to them that love God. And if you know that you love God, then everything that's happening now, amen, is not the end of the story. Amen. It's not the end of the story. God is in control. Amen. How many love the Lord? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Why don't we sing this song, He Became Me, that I might become Him by grace. Amen. Sister Esther, I'm not sure if there's a key for me there for that song. It's page 239. If not, we'll sing it in E flat. C? Okay, let's do C.
He became me that I might become him by grace. He became me that I might become him by grace. He took my place that I, who is love, could take. Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Once again, if you have need a prayer.
He became me that I might become Him by grace.
You haven't received His grace tonight. He's waiting.
He
sees you from far off.
Me,
and He can provide that grace for you. You don't have to stay in your sin. You don't have to sit there wallowing in your condemnation or in your whatever you're doing, amen. God can provide for you and restore you fully.
Because
that's what He wants to do.
That I, through His love, could take His. Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Let's sing it one more time.
Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Oh, thank God for the Father.
He became me that I might become Him by grace. He took my place that I, through His love, could take His. Oh, He became me that I might become Him by grace.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads, and then I think Brother Wade's got something. Amen. Lord Jesus, we thank You, Father, once again for the opportunity to have spoken Your word, Lord. Believe, Lord God Almighty, that You are in this place, Lord, because You promised it in Your word, Lord. And Father, Your word, Father, has gone forth. Lord, I didn't say this, Lord. It was you and your word, Father God, that put this here, Lord Jesus. And so, Father, I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to just think on these things, Lord, as your word says, Father. Let us see where we are, Father, spiritually in our hearts. Lord, we may be doing everything right, but Lord, where is our heart? And what you want is our heart, Lord. Because then everything else, Father God, will be done from the heart, Lord God. Will be done because of the right reasons, the right motives. Lord, take our hearts, Father. Mold us. Forgive us, Lord. Change us, Lord Jesus. Oh God, fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Let us, Father God, just go home, Lord. To seek, Father, that relationship, Lord Jesus, with you. And not just do it for other reasons or carnal reasons or selfish reasons. But, Lord God, seek you because, Lord, we love you. And you are our Father. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Meet every need amongst us, Father. Bless those, Father, that are beyond the road, Lord. And we just commit the rest of the time into your hands. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. God bless you.
Let's give our brothers. Just remember, quick reminder, Saturday we'll be having the rehearsal dinner. Don't touch anything downstairs. Leave all the tables alone so that we can have it ready for Saturday. Sunday we're only going to have one service. And then at 4 o'clock we'll be at the wedding over in Cumming. So if you need any way to get there, you need to let us know. And we'll try to find a way to get you over there. Or Sister Monica's going to put it on WhatsApp. Okay. All right, so everybody know the address. If you get there early, don't go in. Starts at 4.
Starts at 4. You can get there early, though. You just have to stay.
Just stay away. Just stay away from people. Oh. Yeah, just stay away from Monica and Janet, because they'll be. But we're praying for you. This thing's going to be all right. Brother John called me yesterday, and he wants to spend a night with us. Spending the night with us because he didn't have enough motel room, so the pot's already been stirred, so he was all in a tizzy. And I told him, I said, yeah, we got a doghouse you can sleep in. So I told him, I said, come on, we'll be all right. Me and June will go sleep in the camper and they can have our big bedroom, so that'll be fine with us. But just pray for them, pray for the family. This is a big thing. We love Brother John and his wife, and then Sister Lily. Just be wonderful to have her part of the family. So just remember that. Remember also that Brother Bob will be speaking next Wednesday night. Since June and I will be leaving on Monday, heading out to Illinois for about 4 days. We'll be back on Friday, so just keep us in your prayers. So God bless you. Sing that song as you dismiss. He became me.
He became me that I.